What happens in the sky affects life down here on Earth. The Celestial Compass shows you how and guides your way with astrology you can use from professional astrologer Kathy Beal. Every episode features her light-hearted, practical forecasts and navigational tips, blended with humor, optimism, and a love of patterns, symbolism, and pop culture references. Kathy translates technicalities into concepts that apply to real life. You'll learn how the current moment ties to where we've been, from the recent past to cycles that last happened years ago, and get a look at where we're heading. And much more, from special topics to special guests. The Celestial Compass, enlightening, entertaining, and empowering. Here's your host, Kathy Beal.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is Kathy Beal of EmpowermentUnlimited.net, and welcome to another episode of Celestial Compass. We're going to be talking largely today on the Pisces full moon about practices of working with the moon and practices that you can use for self-care. But first, I'm going to update the forecast just a bit. The full forecast is at omtimes.com and also at my site, empowermentunlimited.net. This week, we have the equinox on the 22nd, which starts fall in the northern hemisphere, spring in the southern hemisphere. And this week, the energy that's going on will kind of play like a background program for the next 3 months at least, and it's incredibly dynamic. And those of you who've listened or followed me for a while know that dynamic is a code word with me. So the big thing that will be coloring this season for us is a really harsh, demanding, and ultimately clarifying aspect between Mercury and Pluto. Mercury rules communication, our information stream, our thoughts, papers even, and it's in a clashing demand for action with the ruler of hidden things, secrets, big power, stuff that we generally prefer not to talk about in polite company, not to bring to light. Mercury and Pluto are having this aspect right at the equinox. It's called a square, and there will be two more because next week, Mercury goes retrograde for its final retrograde of the year. I'll get back to that in a second. But this square promises to bring a lot of revelations, a lot of long simmering things that people have been trying to keep under wraps that will be pulled to the surface this week, the beginning of October, and again, the beginning of November, because this aspect will happen three times. And this will also cause you to have lots of hard talks with yourself, to get very candid with yourself about all kinds of things, and ultimately translate that candor into a lot of clarifying conversations with other people. It's not all chaos this week. Right now, we're in the lovely, luscious vibes of a Pisces full moon, which is kind of floaty. So enjoy it today, because you'll get real clear on the things that need to be cut out, particularly in your thinking, in the next 2 days. There's a stabilizing influence by the weekend of putting some kind of containment or structure on ideas that you have, things that you want to push forward, and most importantly, the Mercury retrograde. Now, I do have a guide to Mercury retrograde at omtimes.com, and this particular one takes place in Libra, which is an intellectual sign. It's a sign that is very connected with words. And those of you who know much about a Mercury retrograde know that Mercury retrograde has a big impact on conversations, on words, on agreements, on understanding things. There will be going back over a lot of things that you thought you had arranged a certain way. You'll have the opportunity for do-overs. It is a terrific time for research, for filing, for reorganizing, for finishing old things, for revisiting previous agreements. There is a possibility for lots of confusion, for the new stuff, for people having conversations where they're using the same words, but they attach different meanings to them. So being extra special, clear, I like to say, have an attention to detail that is so great that you almost are acting like you're stupid in clarifying things with people. That is, you know, the appearance you're giving is much less important than getting clear and straight on what is going on. Mercury is retrograde from the 27th until October 18, so it will be a big factor for the beginning of next month as well. And it brings with it this influence that I mentioned of secrets coming out, revelations, getting really clear, and also ultimately stripping down and streamlining your thinking. So you may find as you go through this that there are certain topics that you're simply done with, certain conversations that you just will not allow back into your life, and to certain places that your mind has traveled that aren't where you want to be anymore. And so we'll go more into that when we get to October coming up. But now let's talk about the moon. And we're going to talk specifically about some ways of working with each phase of the moon, not just the new and the full moon, which most of us are familiar with, but with all eight phases. And to help us do that, I have with us today Zan Pele, who is creative director of Lunarly, people whose job has them working with the moon. And Lunarly creates boxes for the moons of each month, and it's also releasing later this fall a guide to creating a self-care practice tied to nature and the moon phases called Living Lunarly. Now, a little bit more about Lunarly. From the start, Lunarly's goal was to draw together a community under the moon above. They knew there were other people out there who cared about setting intentions, connecting with nature, and finding meaningful ways to restore their spirit. Today, their community is thousands strong, and while it takes many forms, Lunarly remains a place to explore, learn, and share in a journey together. Everything Lunarly makes has an intention behind it. They began with monthly self-care boxes themed to the new moon and filled them with carefully selected plants, candles, crystals, and the like. As they've grown and expanded their offerings, their enthusiasm has grown too. The resounding response from people around the globe bolsters Lunarly's commitment to make all they do significant and useful. So, welcome, Zan.
Hey, Kathy. Thank you for inviting me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So, can you tell me from your perspective, tell me about Lunarly?
Lunarly is an interesting project that a bunch of us got together to launch to help people experience the rhythms of nature in a structured way. You know, we, as you said, we know about the new moon and we're like, okay, get that. Full moon gets a lot of attention and rightly so. But there's the entire cycle, and each lunation has its own opportunities every day through it to not only kind of set goals, but also to figure out how the way you're feeling and what motivates you and what holds you back or springs you ahead, how that might be reflecting the cycle of the moon. I think all animals are definitely influenced by those cycles, and it's a way of bringing some attention to that so that instead of just kind of flopping around feeling confused, we can use that structure to help organize our feelings a little bit and be more meaningful.
And Lunarly looks at, if someone were to go to your site, they would see mm-hmm. that the the name for the moon of each month is associated with the, what's a good word for it? Maybe native, traditional name for the full moon for that. So, for example, this month is harvest moon, right?
Okay. Yeah, and you know, that's an interesting thing because different cultures identify different moons different ways. And it's an endless kind of resource to look at how everyone does it. But since our business and our community is largely in North America, we've leaned into the native indigenous traditions, partially because they are so closely tied to the land as well as the cycles. There's that connection there, but also because many of them are in the vernacular. Some are less well known. Like I always think of the sturgeon moon is one that I hadn't really been aware of, but the harvest moon and the corn moon and the cold moon, people like the strawberry moon sounds like something we can all relate to in this, in June. So that's why we picked common names that come from those traditions, because we thought they would feel the most familiar.
And how did the collective come up with its way of gathering different physical objects to work with ritualistically?
Yeah, that's a really, I think, an interesting question. There's the heart of the self-care box, and that is every month one receives, you would receive, or will receive, hopefully, if you sign up with us, a house plant or a candle. And those are the anchors of the collection for some really specific reasons. The first one is the house plant. It brings nature into the home and helps you connect. And I think that one of the things about the moon is that it's you have to go outside to enjoy it unless it's coming through your window. And that's wonderful. However, bringing nature and awareness of nature into your home to live around you kind of gives off a lot of energy, just like your pets might or the people who you live with. And I think that you might agree that in the since like the all of the changes that occurred in 2020, houseplants and nature have become even more important to people. So we're finding that that's been really powerful to people to watch those rhythms of how plants grow, how some of them respond to the rhythms of the day. That's really inspiring to people. So that's one part. And then with the candles, I don't know about you, Kathy, but there are some candles that are really, really delightful and some that are pretty rough, right? And so we try really hard to come up with different scents that help kind of open the door to that idea of self-care and taking time to slow down and observe by choosing combinations and scents that are going to be pleasant to most people. You know, you can't make every, it's not going to be for everybody every time, but we try really hard to find things that aren't harsh, that aren't chemically, that will bring a calm to the room so that it can set a tone of this is a special place or a sacred space. Along with those items, there is, as you said, a beautiful card that people collect quite a bit, like particularly people who are just who like to have an entire array of things that go together. People collect the cards and they have some facts about the moon and some ritual setting suggestions on them. And then also every month, a particular kind of stone comes in the collection. Many of those are ones that you can charge with energy from the moon or through meditation. And then then we also have a self-care item. And the team gets together and talks about what they think is going to be useful. And it's been everything from, say, sound bath tools, like a beautiful singing bowl, or jade, you know, the jade, I actually am forgetting the name of it, but the kind of stone that you use to smooth your skin. I'll tell you, I really love that one. And other things to set up, like almost a little moment for yourself that's not about indulgence so much, but more about rejuvenation and letting yourself recharge and dig deep so that you have more to give to yourself and others and the world. And that's how we think about each box, is what's going to work together and that works with that particular moon cycle so that people have things to do and to enjoy.
And you target it to, well, the idea is to start with the new moon of the cycle.
Correct.
And do things throughout it. All right. Now, I notice that in the guide, I've seen an advanced copy, although it's not available yet, you do talk about 8 phases, which is more than most people even, I mean, they might know about 4 phases, the new moon, the first quarter, third quarter, full, that sort of thing. Is this something that you actually guide people toward paying attention to, that much detail every couple of weeks?
Yes. Well, certainly in the book, we go deeper. In the box, it gives you the outline of the new moon, how to set intentions that reflect the theme of that moon, if you want to do it that way. And then the full moon in the book, it does go, we have exercises that will take you through the whole journey so that you can start with the new moon. And that is, you know, it's interesting. You probably, you know this better than I, that when there are new beginnings, it can be either exciting or a little bit scary. And it's interesting with the new moon because it is such a blank slate. And so we talk about this as being the best time to set clear, achievable, and specific intentions for yourself at that time. And there's like, you know, we talk about the intention, and affirmation.
Hold that thought. It's time for a break. We'll start up with this right when we come back. Thank you so much.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Want help with your own celestial compass? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, for Astro Insight forecasts for each week, month, and new and full moon. Want to explore the personal impact? Make a decision? Understand another person? It is possible. Click the Services tab to book a personal session with me. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We are talking about working with the moon with Zampele of Lunarly. And right before the break, we were discussing the notion of setting intentions at the new moon.
Hey. So, you know, we were talking about like the about setting intentions in it. Lunarly, we don't see it as just like the power of positive thinking, but more a way of setting an intention that builds you up and makes you stronger to be able to do the things that you want to do. And just like if you and I wanted to start training for a 5K, we wouldn't say, okay, let's go run a 5K, Kathy, let's do it today. But we would take steps that would help us get into training, get up off the couch, get outside, start slowly, set some small goals and move on to all the to every step that it takes to see those through. And the phases of the moon allow us to set intentions in a really similar way. So with the new moon, it's maybe a little unclear how it's going to go. Maybe we're excited, maybe we're nervous about those intentions. And then as it progresses through the stages, and as you were saying, they have lots of names that maybe aren't as common to all of us, like the waxing crescent, which is the very first phase after the new moon. And we see it as a time for planting seeds for growth, for really starting to define the intention in some specific ways. And then by the time the first quarter is there, it's a good time to start taking steps and taking some action to, like to use my metaphor of the training, maybe we start doing a run walk for a couple kilometers and get and going through that. And so with our exercises for each of these moon cycles, we take you through not necessarily every phase, but some touchstones you can use throughout the month, and you can time them yourself to go with those eight phases to figure out how you're going to start at the new moon and then bring it all the way through to the waning crescent, which is, as you know, when the moon cycle closes, to be able to sit back and take stock of what we have done and if we need to set the intention again or maybe build on it or turn to the left or turn to the right of that and try something else new.
That's a very good description of it. All right. And just to segue slightly to the side, before we came on the air, you and I were talking about the moon being very much increasingly in the collective consciousness. I had mentioned that in my neighborhood, there is something now called a lunar fair that is occurring on the full and the new moons on a beautiful spread of land that's also used for live action role playing. But with vendors that have all kinds of metaphysical and witchy things, and it's like this new generation that has just sprung up under my nose, behind my back, in all the years I've been living here. And you have also seen this notion coming more and more to the fore of awareness with the moon and it being a natural way of approaching things.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's funny how things kind of rise and fall in the culture, almost like kind of tides of conversation. And I, too, noticed it more in, it's going to sound silly, but in home decor trends. And in some, there's some ceramicists who are doing some work in bringing moon phases into their work. And it was a... I was like, wow, this is cool, because I always liked that kind of design elements, and the phases of the moon are always kind of interesting and romantic. I do think it's a way that it's something that every person on the planet can have in or has in common or can have in common. We all look at the same moon, so it makes sense as a metaphor for bringing everyone together. I think that's why people are attracted to it, because our cultures seem pretty dispersed in many ways, but we're going through a lot of collective stuff together, and the moon is a really wonderful, calming, unifying force. The sun is too, but we have a much more complicated relationship with it in some ways because of the heat and energy and things that are going on in the planet, and even just like getting too hot and wanting to find shade. But the moon is really beautiful and romantic and watches us all. I think that for me, just speaking as Zan, I think that is part of why people are really attracted to it right now. And it's thrilling to be involved in a project that helps people have some way to get actively involved in what they're noticing, as opposed to just noticing that it's there.
Well, it's certainly every time that there is a full moon, there are photos all over social media, like discovered anew. Oh, look, there's a moon up there. Look at the moon. Did you see the moon? So, yeah, I think you've tapped into something. How long
I was just going to have you notice that people, like, when there's a blue moon on social media, people freak out. We've been having blue moons for a long time. I think it's so delightful because it's not just something that is in a song from the 60s, but people are getting completely stoked about some of this stuff that is, as old as the planet.
That is true. And there are all these, and then people spread misconceptions about it, and other people have to jump in. And so, just as you mentioned blue moon, and this is something that is also in the guide, you do mention blue moon. I have always heard of it as when there are two full moons in a month. You're looking at it as the fourth full moon in a season. I think it works out to the same thing, and it happens roughly every 2.5 years. This is just something for people to note. Do you think there's something additional a person could do with a moon ritual? Like, this is a special time or a time at a time? Or
I do, because there's some other, what we call other moons, for lack of a better phrase, right? The main ones, and then there's the harvest moon, the blue moon, and the black moon. And we do have some special rituals to kind of suggest for people, and they can do all or part. And because it's the harvest moon now, I'll tell you, we have a meditation ritual that talks, just like all of our others, about setting the space, nourishing your body with some special drink. Usually it's a kind of tea that you might be able to make with things you have in your home, and spending some time shifting your spirit and setting intention specifically for bringing good things to you. For the harvest moon, we also have, and this is close to my heart, a gardening activity. And, you know, there are a lot of things that can be grown in the fall, and growing gardens isn't just for springtime. So we give some tips on how to help that, or help you do that. But then the blue moon has its own. The blue moon one is probably the most kind of whimsical of all of our rituals, because there's something magical about the blue moon. And so we have a ritual prompt that involves also nourishing your spirit and nourishing your body and shifting your spirit and setting some intentions. But we also suggest you make a book of personal magic and how to do that in a colorful, fun, sparkly way. So for people who like crafts and doing and basically putting sparkles on everything, this is that's definitely the exercise for them. But we also have one for the black moon. And the black moon is unusual, but it also is a great time. Like, it can't all be just like highs, right? And so it's a time to reflect on some of the times of darkness in your life and how that helps you create real change and what you learn from the darker times in your life. And so I really actually, as much as I like the more fun ones, the black moon activities and prompts I think are really special and will actually be useful to people. And that's a little extra something you can do when the black moon comes up in the cycles.
And the black moon is the second new moon in a month.
It is. I'm going to read it exactly because I don't want to get it wrong. And I have it flipped open. So stand by. The black moon is an unusual new moon, as I said, and it's once every 32 months. And it happens when there's a fourth new moon in the season. And then there are, and that's like when there are two new moons in a single month. It really is a mirror reflection of the blue moon. It's just, I think, less talked about.
And black, so people don't think, oh my God, this is evil or something. The sky is just completely dark on a new moon.
Yeah.
Sky's dark on a new moon. There's nothing up there. Yeah. You can't see it when the sun and the moon are meeting, and it takes the crescent to grow before you can actually start seeing where the moon is and what it is doing.
Perfectly put. And one of the things we recommend is that you eat some dark chocolate and really enjoy it. Like, it really is a time to savor. It is a positive recess in your growth as a human.
Without divulging trade secrets, can you tell us how Lunarly goes about? Is this like a collaborative, how you come up with the ideas for each month? Like, okay, now we've done this before, so here's how we want to go about it this time. Or I'm assuming most of the people involved have at least an interest in astrology, or at least the moon.
Oh, yeah.
That much.
Yeah, in moon phases and astrology. And I think that's it's something that we work like anything that you might buy in a marketplace. We plan ahead. We plan a full year ahead and then make small changes as we go. But we look at the themes of those common name moons that we just talked about and try to come up with items that will have intrinsic value that are like, I mean, we do want to make sure that people of all stripes are able to, you know, purchase these as gifts or for themselves, subscribe and get them every month or even like a 3-month set. So we try to balance pricing it well as the quality of the items and utility of the items. It's really important to us that even if you're a little bit surprised, you know, like all subscription boxes, I shouldn't say all, but the fun ones, you don't totally know what you're going to get. So we try to make sure that it's like an act of discovery. So the plant, I have to say, every plant I've ever chosen and that we've shipped out has been beautiful. And the plants are great. The candles smell great. And then the gems and crystals are big enough. They're not like little chips. And we try to figure out how to give people, as I said, things that are useful and beautiful that they would want to have sitting out or to use in their like bathing routines and have out or that they'd feel good about. And so that's the balance, is the whole team steps back and talks about what it is that we're offering. And even though I'm mostly in charge of like helping build advertisements around it and explaining what we're doing, I get to contribute my sense as well. And, I talk to people who get it, like particularly my family members who get it. I'm like, what did you think of that? And stuff like that. And so we get feedback. We all talk to the people who use it and the community gives us feedback. We have a big online community and we hear from them and see what they're doing with, what has come in the box, and that like voluntary information helps us make the box better month after month.
So is the community, is it a Facebook group? Is there some other place that it is?
It is actually, it's interesting. It is mostly Facebook and some Instagram. And I have to tell you, Kathy, you know, like when you like are hosting a party and you go into the kitchen to go get something and you come out and like the party is just gelling and everybody is doing their thing and have a good time and you as the hostess don't even really need to be like connecting everybody anymore. That's how the Lunarly community has grown, and we find it so, we're so grateful for that because it has its own energy, and we feel like our mission now is to keep the quality of the information and of the tools to be, you know, really high to honor that group, because it has its own it has its own dynamism now. And we have a lot of like Facebook Live events with different experts who lead meditation or other self-care rituals. We really put self-care in the not in the marketing sense, but in the like the true concern and spiritual nourishment sense at the forefront of everything we do.
this is something that will be very interesting to work to look look into. So the name on Facebook of the group is Lunarly.
Yes, I can look it up while we're talking. I don't want to tell you the wrong URL. I'm not. I pop in all the time on my feed, so I want to get it right.
Okay. So while you're doing that, I'm looking at the moons that we have coming up this year for the rest of the year. There's the Hunter Moon in October, the Beaver Moon in November, and the Cold Moon in December. I'm curious to know how the suggestions for the self-care rituals vary for those three moons, which might be beyond what you're prepared to discuss.
Well, I think I can certainly look them up. So I think that the Beaver Moon is an interesting one. So let me turn to that page in our book. And I know you said you saw the book. It's really one of my favorite things about it is it's really not only pretty clear, but it's really pretty. I think not that I'm fishing for compliments, Kathy, but I kind of am. I think it is a beautiful, beautiful book.
Well, if you go to
My Lunarly under the community, you'll see that that's where the followers are, and that's where our live events, like a Lunarly Live sessions, are.
Okay. Great. So what is it that you find interesting about the Beaver Moon?
I think the Beaver Moon is interesting in some part because it is – November is a funny time, right? Because you're not quite – it's – I mean, in the United States, November is completely about, like, raking up the rest of the leaves and Thanksgiving. But from a celestial point of view, I think we're all kind of like – thinking about it, and maybe I'm making generalizations, so correct me if I'm wrong, but we're thinking about the solstice coming up in December.
All right, so I'm going to pause you right there, and we'll come back to this right after the break.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
How would you like navigational tools you can use on your own? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, and click the Shop tab. There you'll find lots of talks and guides explaining the big influences at work now, like Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus. You'll also find a variety of guided visualizations for relaxing, clearing your energy, or getting to know planetary archetypes. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Well, Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We're talking with Zan Pele about Lunarly and rituals of working with the moon. And we were talking about the Beaver Moon, which is in November. And I see in the Living Lunarly guide that the explanation for that is that Native Americans and early European settlers trapped beavers in November before the waters froze, and that the beavers and the reavers retreated to their dams. So it's a time to prepare your own dam, to make your home a sanctuary, and to keep you warm through the cold that is coming. So we were talking about, right before the break, setting intentions for this particular moon.
Yeah, and precisely right. And it is an interesting thing because November is in that weird in-between space in the cycle, basically in our year and our, in the way most of us live, where we're kind of before getting into deep winter. And it is a great time to organize and find things that make you comfortable in your environment where you can relax, reset, and recharge. And in the new moon ritual that we suggest, intention setting on focusing on the themes of the Beaver Moon, like sanctuary, home, and comfort, align with this lunar cycle. So, for example, like I was saying, the first thing that we do is set the space. So you can maybe rearrange your space a little bit, and that can be your whole house. That can be just the place where you have a cozy nook, the place where you find that you like to sit back and relax. It doesn't have to be anything big. It can be as big or small as you need. But you want to invoke beauty, light, and a variety of things that create a warm, snuggly, safe ambiance for yourself. And we suggest that perhaps you wrap yourself in a cozy blanket, play some soothing music, and if you have black tourmaline, which we send out in boxes often, then you place it somewhere visible and where it's going to be decorative, but also keep reminding you that it is a place to help you kind of summon that image of peace, safety, and almost building your cocoon.
I see slippers and fluffy pillows are on the list for this month. That's not a bad idea.
Totally.
Lunarly has come up with a guide that is being published later this year. I understand the publication date has changed. Do you happen to know when it is?
We think November. We were expecting it a little bit earlier, but as you know, everything in the world you have to kind of take a lighter grip with, because nothing
That's
is exactly
a good way of putting it.
On time.
That is right, and particularly if you're having books printed overseas. It's anyway, all right, so the guide is called Living Lunarly. Can you tell me a little bit about the author?
Yes, you know, so her name is Kiki Ely, and she was somebody who we collaborated with our wonderful partners at Quattro Books. And they helped us find her because she not only knows her stuff, but also writes in a really accessible way. This book is one where you can jump around anywhere you want. And you can start, if I gave it to you right before the cold moon, you could start at the cold moon. There's a really rock solid introduction explaining much of what you and I have just been going through about the why and how of all of this. But it also remains pretty in depth. You know, like how sometimes people give you a cookbook that is more like long stories and then a couple recipes. Or there are other ones where it's all recipes and no context. This is a really good balance of context for the moon and then practical, doable with things that you have around your home prompts and, you know, quote unquote recipes for how to set your intentions for any given month.
And I'm looking at this and there's a nice outline for a new moon ritual for each month, which includes nourishing your body and has a closing ceremony. And then there are actual things to do with each phase maybe a planting project I see at the Waxing Crescent. First quarter under the Beaver Moon, a sanctuary maintenance list, a little mandala coloring exercise for the Waxing Gibbous, and then a full-blown full moon ritual. And yes, I will give people a spoiler. The graphics are utterly gorgeous in this book. Mm. So that one has that. And then some things to do with the other two moons that are coming, third quarter. Well, actually, there are more than two. Down to exercises for closing out the cycle. So it looks like it's full service. So how might a reader use this book any way they feel like, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing. And we also throwaway thing. Something that I really appreciate is that there's also a little inset and deep dive about how to use different crystals. And so it is not the end-all, be-all encyclopedia about adding crystals to your practice, but it is a good way to get introduced to them and to how to use that to be a reminder through the month of what those intentions you're setting are. Because you can close a journal and be on your way, right? But if you have incorporated a crystal into your practice and you have it out where you can see it, it's a little reminder, almost like putting a string on your finger to say, oh, this is where I want to be this month. And, oh, I'm going to go back to that journal entry and look at it again. And it's almost like an accountability partner. And personally, I think that some of these are an easy way to, if you're having some friends together, be it virtually over Zoom, or if you want to have an equinox gathering party, for me, it would be a party. For someone else, it might be, some other kind of practice. But I think it's a nice way to add a little structure with friends. It doesn't all have to be by yourself. And even though these have themes, you can adjust them. If there's an exercise in a different month than the one that you're on, with a little bit of adjustment, as long as it's kind of in the same vein of the basic theme of the moon, you can rewrite them and share them with others and make them fit where you are in your life.
I'm just noticing there's a hot chocolate chakra clearing exercise.
There's something for everyone.
Right, absolutely. And I see that you have a ritual for the harvest moon. Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's the full moon that falls closest to the autumnal equinox. So that would be today, since today is the Pisces full moon and the equinox is in 2 days. That would be appropriate for people. There's a playfulness in all of this and an easy... You don't have to be deadly serious, and here are some things you can do that bring, as you were saying, incorporate objects that are actually naturally in your home into a lot of this. Does the people behind Lunarly, do you ever do any of these together? There's a question for you. Do you guys ever do rituals together? Have I just lost you? I think I have. Okay, well, so the book is called, as I'm scrolling up, I'm hoping she'll come back, Living Lunarly by Kiki Ely. It will be out in probably in November, but if you go to lunarly.com, you can find information about it. Also on Facebook, look for Lunarly. I understand they're on Instagram as well. And you will find all kinds of ideas about working with moon cycles in a really organic and kind of ongoing and constant way. The book is published by Quarto, which is behind a lot of the guests that you've been lucky enough to hear with me in recent weeks, and it's a very easy to deal with. It's the sort of thing, it looks like, that if you know a lot about astrology, you could get a lot out of this. And if you are a relative newcomer to it and you want to just punch up what you do, you'll get a lot of information from it. So have a look for that. And again, the approach of all this does seem to be self-care. Now, many people will look at a new moon ritual as, oh, I'm going to set these intentions for things to come into my life and make so much happen. You don't have to be so outer directed always. Like, I'm going to have a I'm going to have this in my life. I'm going to make this amount of money. Whatever. You can focus instead on I'm getting distracted with messages from people about this. You can make your working with the moon a much more personal, restorative, and regenerative ritual and approach rather than simply saying to the world, I want to manifest this, which is what a lot of people do with new moon rituals. I'd be curious if anyone does try techniques like this. There are various places you can find me, especially on Facebook at Empowerment Unlimited. And I would be very curious to hear what your results are with it all. Again, this month, we have the full moon today, the full moon in Pisces, which has to do with the interconnectedness of all life. With our fantasies, with our dreams, with our ability to escape. This is a really appropriate moment to kind of just float in time and see what comes up. And know that there are cutting tools nearby at your disposal that you can use to excise all kinds of things. And that information is going to start coming up and coming up and coming up as Mercury heads towards its retrograde. At the same time, Venus is in Scorpio, which is a really deep and intense sign. She was there a year ago. She was there 2 years ago. That's her normal cycle, but I mean at this time of year. So this may be a time for you to explore all kinds of things about past relationships. A Mercury retrograde always brings ghosts from the past, things that you valued in the past, things that were important to you in the past, and rediscover what has meaning, what really feeds you, and embrace that, and let go of things that don't. The links to Pluto are very good for that. The Pisces full moon is in an opportunity aspect to Pluto that precedes Mercury squaring Pluto. So this is a moment to float and then decide what stays with you. Well, folks, it looks like we had some technical difficulties. I guess I invoked Mercury retrograde and Mercury squaring Pluto one too many times. So just as reminders, the Living Lunarly guide is coming out later this fall. I do believe it's in November. You can find Lunarly at lunarly.com. And my forecasts are at my site, empowermentunlimited.net. And also at omtimes.com, where you can find my Mercury retrograde guide. Talk to you in 2 weeks.